Welcome to the Books and Culture podcast with John Wilson, who's the editor of Books and Culture, and I'm Stan Guthrie. John, we're coming up on nearly the first anniversary of your Science in Focus series that you've been doing online. And so why don't you get us up to speed on where that's been and where it's going?
Yes, we started this series on the Books and Culture website in January of this year. And pretty much every Wednesday we have a new piece. Every once in a while there's a month that has 5 weeks, five Wednesdays instead of four, and we have something else. But pretty much every Wednesday, if you go to the Books and Culture website, you'll find a science piece. And the way they're organized is that in a given month, we focus on a particular book, usually, but sometimes it's something other than a book. It could be a movie. One time it was a museum exhibition, and so on. So that in January of this year, we covered a book called Why Geology Matters. Mm-hmm. And we had several different people who represented different areas in the sciences looking at that. We've done the same thing with books on radioactivity, one that you and I talked about earlier. My favorite title of all those we've covered so far is How the Hippies Saved Physics. More recently, we have done a book called Ignorance, How It Drives Science, and another book called Born Believers, which is about the science of children's religious belief. Children, it turns out, have a very strong predisposition to identify agents, that people who make things happen in their lives, and that appears to include a strong natural predisposition to believe in a god or gods. This book is based on research that has been studying that.
All of those topics sound fascinating, but what is it that you're hoping to convey on a weekly and monthly basis as you delve into Science in Focus?
Well, two things. On the one hand, the particularity of whatever the subject at hand is, whether it's geology or radioactivity, whatever the case may be. On the one hand, the particularity, but at the same time, consistently in this series, we're trying to model a certain kind of Christian engagement with science. Often, as you know, that kind of engagement has been unsatisfactory. And sometimes the fault is on the side of believers. Sometimes it's on the fault of scientists who are hostile to religious belief and often caricature it. There's plenty of blame to go around, but what we're trying to do is simply model a constructive way in which Christians can look at the natural world and our understanding of it. We're created to understand it. We're created not only with the ability, but with a tremendous desire to understand. That's something that God has given us. And science is a very powerful instance of that. And so the sheer multiplicity of creation is reflected to a small degree in these many topics that we're covering and that we'll continue to cover.
Now, who's helping you on this project?
I've mentioned her before, and I'm glad you asked me that because I want to mention her again. Heather Whitney, who's a young professor of physics at Wheaton College, who's been terrific to work with. And not only is she interested in her own research as a physicist, but she also has a real passion both for what you might call public science, transmitting science to the general public, and also for getting more women involved in physics and in the sciences in general.
Okay, what do you have ahead, John?
Well, there's a book that you and I talked about when we did one of those coming attractions. It was then in galleys, and it was David Montgomery's The Rocks Don't Lie, A Geologist Investigates Noah's Flood.
Oh, yeah.
And then another one that's coming, a book that's getting a lot of attention by the philosopher Thomas Nagel, Mind and Cosmos, Why the Materialist Neo-Darwinian Conception of Nature is Almost Certainly False. That's a very interesting short book that I highly recommend. And then Richard Muller's Energy for Future Presidents. So those are some of the things that we have coming ahead.
John, I think you have the best job in the world.
I totally agree.